just for having you as my personal Savior, just on general principles. In other words, what can we not praise the Lord for? There's so much to be thankful for. So this is what the psalmist said. I'm lifting up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I bring to your attention something else, and we'll spend a little bit more time here. Let us look up in praise. Let us look up for the protection. Notice what it says as we look in verses 3 through 6. He will not suffer. In other words, he's not going to allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. It's so good to know that God doesn't take naps, and that when we're asleep, he's awake. When we awaken, he's hovering over our bed at night. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He doesn't even doze off. And then he says in verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I've often meditated over that. What exactly does that mean? The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. And to the best of my ability, and checking with other Bible teachers what that might mean, I've come to the conclusion when it says the sun shall not smite thee by day, that was a very practical praise. Because in this area of the world, they did not have a lot of the housing protection that we have right now. And much of the work was done outside. That's why so many references are about farmers and shepherds and herdsmen. Because they were living outside. And even to this day, when you go to the nomadic desert area, you'll see people that are out there on camels or horses. They'll be covering themselves to protect themselves from the sun, because what it is not. I remember when I was a boy, there was a neighbor that was carried out, and I still remember this indelibly. And as he was being carried out to a ambulance on a stretcher, I said, Daddy, what's going on here? And Dad had gone down there and talked to the wife, and the family came back, and he said, well, kids, he had a sunstroke. I remember that's the first time I ever heard that, a sunstroke. And although that may not be as normal in the United States and many of these places, such as the Mideast, where people are still staying outside a lot, they have a sunstroke. You could die from that. So God is saying, I'm watching over you. When the sun is at its peak, and it's beating down on you, when your health is in jeopardy, I'm still watching over you. And then he said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Now, that's a little bit more difficult to understand, except as I've been studying this thing and gleaning off others that have meditated over this, what would a moonstroke be? And there is a term, the moonstroke, which is referring to lunacy or emotional stress. It's what they used to call a nervous breakdown. God says when you are emotionally at the end of your rope, you can tie a knot and hang on and then slip off. He says, but I want you to know that I'm going to be with you. And the moon, not by night. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I'm watching over your emotional health. I'm watching over your physical health. And it's a given that he's definitely the author and finisher of our faith, taking care of our spiritual health as well. So God is our protector. But I want to talk about a comparison here about who we are in Jesus and what we have in Jesus. He said in Psalm 84, he says, the sun shall not smite thee by day. In other words, the elements of the world, please don't be overly worried about that stuff. Don't be worried at all about that stuff. In other words, be careful for nothing. But I want to take care of you, and I want you to think of me like this. Psalm 84:11. He says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And we saw that in Psalm 3 also. He's our shield. He's our protector. He's our sun and our shield. And then he said, the Lord will give grace, unmerited favor, and glory, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. And he says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And I want to talk about God being our sunlight, if you please, our light in this world. Let me give you some comparisons, if you don't mind. Look at Revelation 21 for a moment. Revelation 21. Here's what we have to look forward to when we leave this world and we're in the glory after the Lord has come and he sets up his golden 1,000-year reign and then he sets up eternity. And this is referring to the eternity of all eternities when all that has been said and done has been done on earth and that it's been prophesied. And now eternity begins. It says in Psalm, or rather Revelation 21 and verse number 23, speaking of the city of God, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Now let me just say this about the city of God. John sees the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven and then settling upon this earth. And that's what he was talking about when he said in verse number 2 of that 21st chapter, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. So the city of God was prepared for the bride of Christ. And the earth was prepared for Israel. But when eternity begins after the millennial reign of Jesus, the New Jerusalem comes down to earth. And there, the heavenly Zion is now synonymous with the earthly Zion. It's now one and the same. And the gates of the city, New Jerusalem, now on earth, 12 gates, and they're all open. So that we are literally sitting down with Abraham and Isaac. So that no longer is the bride here and the Israel here, but now we're in and out of the city. And even though the abode of the bride may forever be the New Jerusalem, and the abode for Israel shall evermore be, maybe in that Eden restored and what is now known in that Mesopotamia area. We're not for sure where their Eden would be, but there'll be this back and forth. In other words, there's no suburbs in heaven. God is the light thereof. And this is what the Bible is promising. He says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. So that's the promise of God. Look at Revelation 22 and verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. For the Lamb is the light thereof. So this is what we have to look forward to in the glory and the kingdom to come. But I want to bring this to your attention. Without the Lord, we don't have light even on this side of eternity. Isaiah said this in verse 11 of chapter 50 of Isaiah. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire and compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, if you try to walk in your own light, it doesn't give comfort and it doesn't give direction. For the light that the world gives eventually, ultimately always ends up in darkness. For comparison, let me just share with you what it says in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. All right. John chapter 12. In verse number 24, John 12 and verse number 24, this was the promise of Jesus. Actually, verse 23 says, and Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And now he's prophesying of his death, and those that follow him will not only follow him in truth by the words and the life that they're living, but by taking up our cross and following him. For he says in verse number 24, verily, verily, I say to you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, that and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. This is the reason Christ came, to die for our sins. Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying of what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So we understand that Messiah will reign and live forever. But now you're saying that the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, or you're going to be lifted up. So if you're going to be lifted up to die, then what happens then? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. He himself is the light. I am the light of the world. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. Verse 46, I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. The reason the Lord could tell them not to put a bushel on the light was because he was saying, even though the next few hours is going to get very, very dark, and I'm going to die upon that cross, I will reign forever. And I will go to the right hand of the Father and sit upon the throne of glory. But I will also sit upon the throne of your heart, so that the light will not go out when I die. I will rise again, and the light will be in you. One day you're going to be with me in heaven. The prophecy is given in the Revelation, and the light will be there. But until you get to that eternal city with the eternal light, you will have light in your pathway now. John 8:12, Jesus said again unto them, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ephesians 5:8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You were sometimes darkness, Ephesians 5:8 says, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But Jesus said, again, going back to verse 46 of John 12, I am come a light in the world, and whosoever believeth in me shall not abide in darkness. Fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah 60 in verse number 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and here's why, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. The Lord who died and rises from the grave will rise upon you and give you light on this earth until you get to the eternal light of heaven. It's a great promise of God's great protection of us. He said, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. I will be your light. He is a sun and a shield, Psalm 84:11 says, this great protection. But notice what it says in verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I'll be preserving you. For comparison on that, let's look at Psalm 71 for just a moment. Psalm 71. This was one of my father's favorite passages of scripture. In the last days of his life, his favorite verse was 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. That's on his gravestone. But he said to me, he said, son, that's my life verse, but this has been so precious to me in these days, just before he left this earth. And here it is, Psalm 71, these words especially. I won't read you the whole psalm, but he says in verse number 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. And then he says in verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power unto everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore trouble shalt quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. So he says, whether I'm old or gray-headed, I know you'll take care of me. This is the promise of the Lord. He preserves us. I like to say he preserves us, but he doesn't pickle us. He takes care of us. That is the great promise of Psalm 121. And if you have your Bibles, let me close out. Is it actually 8:13? And I use the term close out. Well, let's go ahead and close out with verse number 17, Isaiah 54. Look at Isaiah 54, and I want you to see verse number 17. Now, this is a great verse to memorize. If you've never memorized it, this is a verse to memorize. This is a promise. This verse encompasses the praise, I will lift up mine eyes in the hills from whence comes my help. The protection, the sun shall not smite thee by day, the moon by night. He is our sun, he is our shield. And then the preservation, he shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thee. You're going out, you're coming in, watching over us, preserved. And we live in a world where sometimes there's designs against us. Maybe at work you've noticed the designs against you. Sometimes even physically, designs against you. We were quoting from what Jacob said as he came to the realization that they were wanting to take Benjamin down to Egypt, and he wasn't quite sure what was waiting for him down there, not knowing that Joseph indeed was alive. He said, all these things were against me. No. All these things were working for him. But this is the promise that all of God's children can claim. And we'll show you why in just a moment. Look at verse 17. No weapon, that's Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Who gets this kind of treatment? Watch this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So he is giving this promise to all of God's servants. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't feel like I'm a great servant of the Lord. Does that still include me? Well, let me ask you this question. Where does your righteousness come? Does it come from you or does it come from Christ? It comes from Christ. It comes from God. So he says right here, it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, those whom he has redeemed. With God, there is no respect of persons. The promise is as good for Isaiah, as good for the preacher, as good for you. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Is there something that's bothering you now? What are we saying? Better yet, what does God say? God is saying, look up. Look up and give him praise. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which maketh heaven and earth. He is our protection. The sun shall not smite thee by day, the moon by night. He preserves thee. He's watching over thee. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. This is the heritage of you, of me, of every one of us. So therefore look up. Therefore look up. I will lift up mine head. I will lift up my head and look up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the precious, precious word of God, and help us to keep looking up according to thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's